In the world of art, few judgments are without debate, but in all the universe, Aretha Franklin is acclaimed as the Queen of Soul. You better think about what you're trying to do to me. Aretha Franklin is not one to let her past hits speak for her. She still performs and records and has released her 51st album. She spoke with NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams.
In October, Aretha Franklin added to the long list of her artistic honors that include more than a dozen Grammy Awards, a Kennedy Center honor, and being the first black woman to appear on the cover of Time magazine. This time, the first woman inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was given a spot on the BET Walk of Fame. But at 61, Franklin has started to talk about retirement. Sort of.
It just means that I'm scaling back on the number of dates that I do annually. Not retiring, never retiring, just scaling back. That's all.
Franklin's most recent album, So Damn Happy, has been another critical success, although it has not flown out of record stores. Franklin's biggest commercial success came in the 1960s, at a time when the carefully orchestrated Motown sound had produced Diana Ross and the Supremes. Aretha Franklin's music arrived with a more sexual, bluesy sound. Her breakthrough hit was I Never Loved a Man the Way I Loved You, which featured Aretha playing piano and her sisters as the backup singers. A succession of classics followed. When I think back over your work, some things just stand out. You make me feel like a natural woman, which I always make me want to sing. You make me feel like a natural man. You know? Okay. What do people tell you about these songs?
What do they tell me? Well, they're just often requested more than anything else. On occasion, I hear that some of them helped them get through the service, the war, and I'm delighted by that.
Well, with respect, it came at such an era in American life in the 60s mm-hmm. that for black people, for women who were battling for respect, it became an anthem.
It was a battle cry of a sort, but we've always had respect in certain ways. We kind of demand respect. What you want, baby, I got it too. What you need too, you know I got it too. All I'm asking you is for a little respect when you
just
come
a little bit, baby, just a little bit. In her musical life, Aretha Franklin never had to struggle for respect. But her personal life was another story. When she was six, her mother left her father, the powerful Reverend C.L. Franklin. David Ritz helped Franklin to write her autobiography.
She grew up in her father's church, and instantly he saw she was a prodigy. She could, as Smokey Robinson once told me, they could all go to the upright piano and pick out little notes, but Aretha was the only one, when she was 8 or 9 or 10 years old, who could sit down at the piano and actually play whole chords.
I want to take you back and go back to Aretha Franklin at age 9. Your daddy put you on a little box and he had you singing. You remember that?
We were at church and there was a little footstool there. Someone found a footstool in the office and put it there on stage for me to stand on to sing because they didn't feel that I would be seen. I was so small.
In church or on stage, Franklin's voice was enhanced by something else she learned at church, the ability to connect with an audience. She made her first record at age 12. By the time she was 19, she had a contract with Columbia Records. At Columbia, she was given the chance to record some of the songs she wrote.
I love to write. Without the One You Love was one of the first songs that I ever wrote, and I was just floored just to hear my music being played.
What is romance? without the one you love. It's heartbreaking misery without the one you love.
Franklin spent 6 years with Columbia, but she didn't hit her stride until she switched to Atlantic Records and worked with producer Jerry Wexler. He knew what to do with her voice. He took her south to work with a mostly white Memphis studio band. By the mid-1970s, as disco reigned, Franklin's string of hits slowed. Her personal life also hit some bumps. Her father was shot by robbers in 1979. He spent years in a coma and never recovered. The other men in her life gave her no end of grief. She had two of her four children by age 17 and two turbulent marriages that both ended in divorce. But Franklin survived the bad relationships, the death of her father, and years of smoking two packs of cigarettes a day to rise back to the top of the pop charts. In 1985, she released her best-selling album in nearly 20 years, Freeway of Love. Franklin continued to record through the mid-90s, but the number ones were replaced by Franklin standing as the diva of divas. She sang at Dr. King's funeral, at the inauguration of two presidents, and she more than filled in for an ailing Luciano Pavarotti at the 1998 Grammy Awards ceremony. Franklin's voice is not what it was, but it remains powerful. Today she lives outside Detroit. Now there is a studio in her home so she does not have to expose her voice to the cold weather before singing.
Usually at home, I sit around at the piano and I compose sometimes. Other times I'm just playing, you know.
And when you think about the craft of singing today, as your voice changes, is it a different craft? Is it the same craft? Are you emotionally in a different place?
I don't want to be dissected this morning, Juan Williams. Really, this is too heavy for me in the morning. Please. Okay. Everything is just what it was. You know, that's just who I am. I'm a very creative and artsy kind of person.
And when you're the queen of soul, you don't have to say anything more. Juan Williams, NPR News. Washington.
More of Aretha Franklin's music is at npr.org. It's 11.